Hey, what's going on, everyone? You're currently tuning into the Arkansas Children's Better Today, Healthier Tomorrow podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Howard. Today, we have the pleasure of sitting down and chatting with one of our music therapists here at Arkansas Children's, Andrew Greb. Andrew, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here.
First off, before we even get started, I got to be honest, man. When I see you as I kind of moonlight as a musician. So when I see you guys like moving through the hallway with your guitars and your ukuleles, I get a little bit jealous because I'm like, man, they have the coolest job here.
Yeah, we like to think so. We have this opportunity to bring all that to all the different patients, and anything they could possibly want, we try and fit as much on that cart and make sure they have something that they can do and we get to meet with them.
For the people at home that are watching this, can you give me like a brief description of what your role kind of entails as a music therapist here at Arkansas Children's?
Sure. So starting off with like the most simple definition of it is that we're using music as a means to work on non-musical goals. And that can mean a lot to different patients. So that could be learning to play ukulele to help with fine motor skills. It could be writing songs to help with self-expression. It could be singing to help with, working with what we would call expressive aphasia to help with patients who are maybe recovering from a brain injury and helping them regain their speech. So music is the medium we use, but we go about it a different way. And it can look a few different ways. It can be playing music together. It can be listening to music. It can be singing. It can be composing. It can look whatever really works for the patient that given day.
Oh, man, that's so awesome. That's so cool. I bet those kids really enjoy that,
sure,
being able to do that. I got to ask this, too. Like, with this role, like, how common is it for pediatric hospitals to actually carry your role? Mm-hmm.
I'd say on the pediatric level, it's very common at this point. Many programs, at least in the top programs, will have music therapists, multiple music therapists on staff. I'm from the Philadelphia area originally, so I was at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia for my internship. And we had, I think at the time, maybe four or five music therapists on staff there, and that's a large hospital. So on a pediatric level, it's definitely becoming more the norm, I'd say.
And I got to ask, too, like, what type of training do you guys go through, like, when you decide to go down that path?
Good question. So to become a music therapist, we're required to have either a bachelor's or master's degree from an accredited university that has a music therapy program. So we actually major in music therapy. Mm-hmm. And that process, once we're in school, is a mix of classes that's music classes, like your music theory, things like that, music therapy specific, psychology classes, and then clinical work. So we do different clinical placements. I mentioned my internship was at Children's of Philadelphia, but prior to that, we did what are called practicums. So my first one, I got to go down to actually Jamaica and work with kids with special needs, homeless shelter and infirmary. And when I returned back to the States, I got to do a little bit of work in a kind of like a day program for older adults who are in like early stage dementia, early stage Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. So that's all that's involved with the process of becoming a music therapist. Finish our schooling, we sit down for a board exam, and then off we go at that point.
So do you guys like periodically have to like go back in and do like refresher courses, or is there like mm-hmm. ongoing training with that role?
Yeah, so to re-up our certification, there's a five-year period when you have to do a certain amount of credits. It can be a mix of taking classes, going to conferences. I got to do a study here that really, I could put towards that as well. So there's lots of different ways that we are required to do continuing education.
Oh, man, that's so cool. Because I think that makes me even look at you guys' job even with way more respect. Because the thing is, like, you got to know the music side, mm-hmm. but then that whole therapy side, learning how to actually use that to be able to treat the patients is like, I imagine, a completely different animal. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's much more clinical than I think people realize, because you just see somebody with this cart of instruments. You see the joy that it can bring to the kids. But for us, when we're in the session, we're thinking in a different way. We're constantly assessing, reassessing all that. So we're taking all that training, and that's how we're able to be effective working with the kids we have. So it shouldn't look like we're doing much, but in retrospect, we really are.
Mm. I mean, so kind of piggybacking on that, like just talking about all the stuff that you guys do, can you give me like a brief, like kind of overview of what does your day-to-day kind of look like when you guys come in?
Yeah. So coming in, it's, you know, probably typical to maybe like your day. You start off, you check some emails, you see, kind of do some chart review, see what your, how your patients are doing. Try to kind of build a schedule off of that based on who's on your census. And then the majority of the day is going and seeing kids, and the day to day can look different depending on who you're seeing. So, I mean, in a given day, I can see kids from, you know, 1 year olds up to, you know, kids almost 20 years old in different units. So I could be like today, I'll mostly be on the rehab unit, but I might drop down to, you know, the CV unit. I might go to the hematology oncology, and it really depends on the day, but we're all over the place, and, you know, we prefer it that way.
Man, that's awesome. And you just brought a point to my head. So do you guys treat, I mean, do you guys work with kids in specific service lines? Mm-hmm. And if you do, I mean, are there any service lines that stick out? And does your treatment change based on the service line that you're working with?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, one of the primary ones that we started the program with was on, you know, acute care rehab. So that is going to look a lot more in what we call neurologic music therapy. And that's an additional certification that I took and other music therapists can take. So we're actually using music to focus on cognition, speech, motor planning, things like that. So that is very clinical looking when you see it. But then if you go to, so we also work a lot with like pulmonology. So working with kids with cystic fibrosis, that's going to look a lot more free, a lot more open, because these kids cognitively are at the level they should be. So it's a lot of just learning instruments, playing together, improvising music together, and just helping try to normalize their environment, especially when they're here and kind of being confined to a room for 2 weeks can be difficult. So it really depends on the service, how we approach it.
I know you talked about some of the clinical stuff or the clinical aspect you guys role. Do you guys, what does the collaboration look like when you're working with like doctors and everything? Because I imagine it's just not you guys just taking a guitar, showing up in somebody's room. I imagine that there's kind of like a holistic all hands on deck kind of approach. What does that collaboration process look like with you and the doctors and you know, more clinical staff?
Right. So most of the consults that we receive are coming from physicians, so they have a good understanding of when to consult us. But an example goes back to rehab is that, you know, every morning we have rounds where we kind of figure out schedules for the day and kind of bring up things that might need to be brought up. We do patient family meetings, and we're a part of that, giving our updates and talking about kind of how we're working towards our goals. So that's incredibly helpful because it helps inform the work that I do and how can I support the other therapies and what our goals are. So some units are a little bit more formal like that. Others, it's a little bit less formal. It just really depends. There's always so much time in the day, so I can only do so much as far as attending meetings and attending rounds. Our other music therapist, Elizabeth, she, you know, every Tuesday she goes to NICU rounds just to get a sense of like who needs to be seen this week and kind of going from there.
Man, I got to piggyback on that also. You talked about the NICU thing, and I think that's so cool that you guys offer the same music therapy services to the NICU.
Yeah.
So can you kind of paint a picture for people at home and like, how does that look? And how does it look like when you guys go into the NICU and you're working with those infants? How does that treatment process differ from what you do with the older kids?
Much different looking. NICU music therapy is also a separate certification that you can get. So what Elizabeth will do is, I hope I'm getting it right, multimodal neurologic enhancement. And what that means is she's going to be working with a premature infant, and it's going to be a step-by-step process that's a mix of singing, tactile, just light touch, and rocking, what we call vestibular stimulation. And she is looking for signs of distress and things like that and trying to figure out what helps comfort this infant, because infants who are crying a lot and having to move around a lot are burning calories, and we're trying to work on weight gain and all those other important vitals. A lot of the research that we had for that showed improved weight gain and a shortened length of stay. So when we were trying to establish her position, I could point to research. I could also point to when I did my research on the top 20 pediatric NICUs, I believe 19 of them had music therapy already. So that puts Arkansas Children's on the map of kind of meeting that standard of what you see in other NICUs. So we're really happy that we have someone who's passionate about that and has that training.
All right. So for this next question, I feel like you've kind of been trickling in like a little bit of nuggets to the answer that I'm kind of going for. But I feel like you spoke to a lot of the benefits of like to the children by getting that music therapy. Is there, if you were asked to kind of generalize some of the benefits of that music therapy for parents at home that may not know about it, like, can you kind of give me an overview of those?
It can benefit, the simplest way to put it, it can help with their emotional well-being. Just the simple act of taking part in music can help take their mind off a lot of the heavier things they're dealing with in the hospital. But it can also help them with, if say it's a patient who has is taking a lot of other therapies already at home, this can continue to enhance what they're already working on. So if you're working on motor skills, if you're working on speech, we can work with that too. So really, whatever the goal happens to be, we can find a way to fit music therapy into that. So it's really dependent on the patient, but we're kind of a jack of all trades when it comes to that stuff.
You know, an interesting thing with a thing like art therapy or music therapy in a clinical space, one of the biggest differences, I think a lot of times with clinical treatment, there's always kind of a quantitative like way to measure success. How are you guys able to measure success with art or music therapy?
Right. So it can look quantitative. It can look qualitative depending on who you're working with. So I'll give you an example of the qualitative. We did a study on a technique we use called heartbeat songs, which I can talk a little bit about more too. And the study was with patients who had neurodegenerative disease. So these patients were degenerating and had only a finite amount of time that they'd be here. So what the heartbeat song is we record a patient's heart. We use that audio, and then we sync music to that. So either we play the music or we take a song and do that. So that becomes like a legacy item, something we use either at end of life, or it can also be a means of celebration too. So we did a study about that, and we did interviews with the families, and we were able to get some good qualitative data from that. Other studies that you see, like I referenced the NICU music therapy studies, they're getting more raw numbers, like what's their heartbeat when we start? What's their heartbeat when we stop? How does this change? So it really depends on the population on how that can look. So there's quite a bit of both sides when it comes to that.
And that's so awesome. Yeah. Especially like the heartbeat deal that y'all do. I know the parents, like, because I feel like, I know a lot of times with the hospital, I feel like you're indirectly treating the family too, because you're providing emotional support. Yeah. So I can only imagine it probably means the world to them to be able to get that from you guys.
I mean, imagine being a parent and your child is going through this difficult thing. Maybe they've just gotten a pretty devastating diagnosis that they're going to have to fight for. They're going to need chemotherapy or something like that. And one of the best things you can hear is when you're working with a patient and the mom or dad, whoever happens to be, is there and says, that's the first time I've seen them smile. That's the first time I've seen them act like themselves. It takes a weight off the parents' shoulders to see their child being a child again. And it also helps too, like, we have a lot of really dedicated parents here. Even on just the simplest thing, it's like, hey, mom, dad, you want to go out and grab a coffee or something? We'll sit here for the next half hour and play, just to give them even a break. Some parents like to participate too. So if we can get them involved and connecting with their child, it works that way too. So we're here just as much for the parents as we are for the kids.
I got to ask you this too. So what is one thing that, what is one thing that you feel like everyone needs to know about the music therapy program?
Yeah.
If there's one thing that you had to tell everybody, what would you tell them about the program?
I would say, a lot of people will look at us and say that we have the fun job. And most of the time we do have the fun job, but we deal with just as much difficult things as any other team member. We deal with life. We deal with death. We deal with people improving and people not improving. So we're here through every step of the process. And we adjust that to whatever is needed. So if somebody is improving, we keep building and changing goals. If someone is declining, we're going to change our approach to help benefit them and help comfort them the best way we can. So mostly what we do is fun, but we also, I would call it kind of a privilege to be there even in the darkest times for a family to invite you in and to allow you to allow us to do what we do is really special. So it's a children's hospital. We see beautiful things. We see heartbreaking things.
So I want to shift gears just a little bit, just because I think one of the things I think is so important for parents to kind of know is get familiar with the staff that they're working with also. Like, I feel like we spend a lot of time talking about the music therapy, but I kind of want to shift gears and talk about you a little bit. So, like, how long have you been a music therapist?
See, this December it'll be 10 years here. I think it's about 12 years total that I've been a music therapist, yeah.
Nice. You mind kind of talking about your journey into music therapy? Like, what made you decide to say, you know what, I think I want to be a music therapist?
Okay, I'm going to go way back. So my parents made me take piano lessons when I was 7. Did not enjoy it. But I did learn a lot of the theory and a lot of the foundation of music. When I was in 4th grade, I picked the saxophone, and I started to like music a little bit more. Played in concert band, jazz bands all through high school. When I was about 8th grade, I remember just being in the car with my mom and saying, like, I think I want to play guitar. So we found, like, a neighbor had, like, a cheap, terrible acoustic guitar, and I learned to play guitar on that. And then I learned, oh, you can write songs on this. You can play in bands. You can play the music that you like. So that's when I started really getting the bug for, like, music and the power of it, with especially from a creative standpoint. Ended up going to college undergrad for something called music industry. So I got to learn a lot of like audio production, things like that. And then I still didn't know that music therapy existed at this point. It wasn't until my mid 20s that I was kind of in a rut career wise. And I was like, I think I want to do something like counseling. And then I saw the school I was applying to had music therapy. It's like, well, I need to look at that. And I had one conversation with the director, and I was like, I'm switching. I'm going to do this. Even still going into it, not quite knowing what I was getting into. So I went to school. I kind of mentioned the clinical work I did. After all that, I got to work at a private practice, which was great for me. Like, I always wanted to get back into this setting. But in that private practice, I got to work with kids with autism. I got to work with older adults with, like, severe dementia, adults with traumatic brain injury, everything in between. And then eventually this opportunity came around, and it was just the right fit. So that's how I ended up here. And then, from there, we're just building up the program, making sure staff's aware of why we're here, and then eventually bringing on our second music therapist. We have interns as well. So just as much as we can. Arkansas is a pretty deprived state when it comes to music therapy. So, like, my big goal is bringing that as much as we can.
That's awesome. Man, so I got to ask this too. It's kind of personal, but, like,
How
does it feel to know that, I imagine it's probably similar to how I feel about film and storytelling, be able to do this. But, like, from that music perspective, you're doing something that you love to do and knowing that it's having a positive impact on other people's lives. Can you kind of describe how that feels to be able to come in and do that every day?
Yeah, I guess I never wake up in the morning feeling stressed about going into work. It rarely really feels like a job. Because at the end of the day, I get to play music with kids, and I get to see the effect that it had on me when I really caught the bug for it. I get to see the light bulb go off for them. A lot of the kids that we work with have never picked up an instrument, maybe don't have music in school. So to introduce that, or maybe they've had a bad experience learning how to play piano when maybe the teacher wasn't the best. So kind of being able to do that and kind of bring that experience to them, just the joy of playing music together, it takes me back to when I first started playing, like, in rock bands. You're just playing with your friends, and it's just, you get that kind of nonverbal communication where it's everything just syncs together. Watching that light bulb go off for children is probably the best part of it.
Man, I feel like you've kind of answered my next question or my last question for you. I always ask this kind of selfishly when I talk to people, especially in this atmosphere.
Yeah.
But just kind of hearing you really go through the role, like, it sounds like an awesome job, but it's not easy. And I guess that's with most jobs. I'm sure that you can run into challenging things within the job, working with the kids sometimes. Yeah. Like, what is your why? What keeps you fired up and motivated to come in here every day and give 110% to these kids? Like, what is your why?
It's just the kids. That's the simplest way to put it. It's knowing that they're dealing with a potentially very difficult situation, even if it's not life-threatening. Being able to bring in music, or, if our artists are able to visit them as well, bringing that sense of normalcy into a hospital setting is such a special thing to be able to do. So my why is really just, even in the moment, can I just help these kids get their mind out of the hospital setting and all the pokes and prodding and all this kind of stuff that they have to endure, all the medication, everything. Can we put that aside for a minute and just focus on this one thing and just the joy of creating music together and bonding over that? That would be my why.
Oh, man. Well, Andrew, man, I got to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule and coming and hanging out and chatting about your role. And I'm going to go ahead and just say thank you on behalf of all the people that are watching this at home. And I'm sure they probably like really appreciate you and all the work that you do to help the children of Arkansas be better today and healthier tomorrow. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Ryan. Appreciate it.
And for you guys at home, if you guys enjoyed this podcast, please make sure that you like this, drop a comment, make sure you smash the subscribe button and share it. Until we talk to you guys next time, y'all stay encouraged and be easy.